to present to you here. It's really fortunate that we've just got back from the UK. You were having your meeting, and so it's a great opportunity for us to share with you what we're doing. Health to Wealth is what this project's known as in Johnson & Johnson, and we've worked with Johnson & Johnson through the Innovation Bootcamp over the last few months to develop the project. But Health to Wealth built on something that was already there called Cola Life, so that's another name you'll hear. And then in Zambia, we've moved from the concept of Cola Life into a very specific trial, and so called COTS, Cola Life Operational Trial Zambia. So those are three names you may come across, but they basically all mean the same thing. Cola Life, or Health to Wealth, is based on three facts. The first fact was the first fact is that, you know, wherever you go, at least the perception is that you can get a Coca-Cola, even in the most remote parts of developing countries. The second fact is that one in seven children, on average, in sub-Saharan Africa, don't make it to their fifth birthday. This is today, in 2011. Those figures we use every day and they roll off the tongue, but let me just paint a picture of that for you. If you take a sample of 100 children in sub-Saharan Africa, this is what happens. Now, that is just the average. Some averages in some countries are the figure that Christian used, one in five. And, of course, that's only the average for that country, so there'll be places in that country where it's even worse than that. And that's a key driver for us. If you compare that with a sample of children in Europe, the US, that's what the picture looks like. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's half a white square or a third of the white square up in the top corner. So it's that contrast that drives us in Cola Life. We want to do something about that. So what do these children die of? Well, the second biggest known cause is illnesses associated with diarrhea, mostly dehydration. And you can see that more children die from diarrhea-related illness than measles, HIV, and malaria put together. The third fact is that there's been very slow progress in improving the situation over the last two or three decades. There was a formal survey done in 2008 on progress towards the Millennium Development Goals, which were set in 1990. And what it showed was that there was a steady incremental improvement. Child mortality had dropped over that 25-year period at about 2% per year. I put those figures into a spreadsheet the other day, and at that rate of improvement, it'll take 185 years to move from that first diagram to the second diagram. So incremental improvement, all well and good, must be encouraged. We mustn't sort of just dismiss it. It's important, but it's not enough. We need step change to meet the Millennium Development Goal, as you can see. We need to move from 2% per year to nearly 11% per year just to hit the Millennium Development Goal, which, of course, we are going to miss. So step change requires innovation. And this is where we wish to contribute in innovation in this area. This picture was taken in a rural health centre. It's the storeroom. That's in Katine in Uganda a year or so ago. And I don't expect you to be able to read the labels on those shelves, but it's for pretty basic medicine. The point is the shelf is empty. A recent study by Health Action International and WHO came up with a figure of 38%. And that was the level of availability of 100 basic medicines in rural clinics in sub-Saharan Africa. Again, if you turn that figure into some sort of practical reality, it means that if you are a mother with a child on your back and you do go to your local health centre, you're more likely not to find the medicine you need than to find it. Contrast that with the private sector, and the private sector doesn't have 100% availability of everything all the time, but it's a lot better than 38%. And generally speaking, if people want something, even in the most remote rural areas, and there's money to be made getting it to them, it will get there. And that's what happens with Coca-Cola and many other consumable products like talk time and soap and so on and so forth. We know that in the case of Coca-Cola, the journey starts with a lorry coming out of a bottling plant. This was taken in Dar es Salaam. But that's not unique. There are lots of mechanisms for getting stuff, including medicines, from provincial or capital cities out to district level. So we're not really interested in this bit of the Coca-Cola supply chain. We're interested in this bit. This is the bit where the Coca-Cola lorry stops and an army of small business people, I mean, they're not small people, but you know what I mean, they're running small businesses, take over from where the lorry left off and take those bottles and those crates that last mile, or it may be last 10 miles, but they do the last bit. It's the secondary part of the distribution chain that's unique, or not unique, but special as far as Coca-Cola is concerned. And wherever those crates go and those bottles go, this space goes too. And this is the opportunity that we're seeking to exploit with the Health to Wealth project. We've come up with a wedge-shaped container. Now, these are only models. So the actual container itself has yet to be finalized. It'll probably be made out of plastic, be waterproof, and so on. You get 10 of those in a crate. Five rows of two packs in each row. And within each of the packets are the WHO recommended ORS, oral rehydration salts, zinc supplements, and we're going to add soap. If I could just take you through the journey we've been on, I first had this idea of combining medicine distributions with Coca-Cola distribution in 1985 when I actually worked in Chinzali district in Zambia. But at that point, it was very difficult to share ideas. The only bit of technology we had, which you can't see there, was a telex machine. And take it from me, a telex machine is not a mass communication device. You can't gather people around an idea using a telex machine. So basically, I failed. And then 3 years ago, just over 3 years ago now, I decided I'd have another go at this, sharing this idea and see what people thought about it. And we went on to Facebook, where we thought our potential supporters would be. The BBC engaged once we had a few hundred people behind us. And then when the BBC engaged and decided to do a feature on us, then of course they engaged Coca-Cola and the engagement with Coca-Cola started. We then went through a two-year process of developing the concept in the open online. You can read the whole story at colalife.org. I do a blog post at least once a week and sometimes two or three times a week to let our supporters know how we're getting on. And it's a fantastic it is the story of our journey. Being open and using open innovation techniques has really helped us because it's attracted experts, it attracted Johnson & Johnson, and we were in this two-year process, we were invited to participate in the Johnson & Johnson Innovation Boot Camp, where we honed this idea and then presented it to a panel of VPs. And then a year and 2 months ago, we after doing some research on possible countries to try this idea out, we came to Zambia, we were very happy to come here and find that there was no interest. Then we would have gone to another country. And we probably would have done that about three times and given up. But actually, we came here and we had an overwhelmingly positive response. It was brilliant. So the first visit, which was in October, more than a year ago, we spent 2 weeks talking to as many people as we possibly could. The next visit, UNICEF were on board by that at that point. This was January this year. We started homing down the partnership. And then we came back in May to finalise the plan for the trial. This is the first workshop we ran. This is just part of the room. This is Ruth Mitimingi from Keeper Zambia Foundation, which you'll hear about in a minute. Victor from TransAid. Ian from Medical Stores Limited. This is Charles from the SFH, Society for Family Health. That's right. And that's me. I was a lot younger then. This is the model that we came up with in that workshop. We moved bits of paper around, and this is the result. And this is the basis of the trial which we're about to start. The target group for the intervention are women or caregivers in remote rural communities. Although these packs could be configured for all sorts of things, the consensus was we should focus on a niche application, and that should be what we're now calling an anti-diarrhea kit. We want to deliver this through the private sector, not through the public sector, through the private sector. In order to do that, we need to respect how this supply chain works, with margins being made at each level along the supply chain. The aid pods, anti-diarrhea kits, these little packages, are going to be introduced at the wholesale level. As I said, there's nothing unique about this part of Coca-Cola's distribution chain, getting things from the bottler to the wholesaler. This is the unique bit, this last mile. So we are going to be delivering these, or Medical Stores Limited are going to be delivering these pods packed in cardboard cartons to wholesalers, Coca-Cola wholesalers, and it's the wholesalers that will put them in the crates. We will be doing some work starting in January to assess the ability of our clients, our customers, to pay for such a product. And based on that, we will inject a subsidy at the top end. So based on their ability to pay and the margins to be made along this chain, we'll know at what price we need to inject or put the commodity into the top of the supply chain. Really importantly, and crucially important, is the social marketing that will need to take place in these communities. This is a totally new commodity. People won't know what it is, so we need to tell them what it is, why it's useful, generate a value around this product, just like you would if you were selling any other new commodity. So that we can turn need for this type of product into demand for it. So the product gets pulled through. So this is not like aid. It's not a supply-driven model. It's a demand-driven model. We want to create demand here. We want these people to see an opportunity to make money from satisfying that demand, likewise here. To ensure for the trial that there is demand here, as well as doing the social marketing, we're going to be giving these mothers and caregivers vouchers, which are like scratch cards, the sort of thing you get for talk time, where you scratch a number off. And the retailers will receive those vouchers, exchange them for one of these pods, which will be uniquely identified, put the number of the pod and the voucher in their phone. They will get paid there and then on their phone. The mother caregiver will get the product. So we're hoping that these people, seeing this demand here, will go here and say, no, I don't want a Coca-Cola crate without those things in. I want them with those things in because I've got mothers back in my community that have got vouchers to exchange for them. And so that will mean the wholesaler will buy them as well. So that's the sort of, we're trying to create this pull mechanism. There's exactly the same mechanism that you get with things like Coca-Cola, talk time, cooking oil, and so on. These are the components. Two packs of ORS, a blister pack of zinc supplements, that's WHO recommendations, and some Johnson & Johnson soap. So we carry not just the treatment message, but the prevention message as well. Oh, and the other thing that will be in the pack is education, information, education and communication materials. Now, I should say, actually, that all of those products that you saw there are already registered in Zambia as over-the-counter medicines. So we're avoiding having to register a whole new set of medication. Now, the profile of Cola Life is huge. If you put Cola Life into Google, you'll get 10 pages, and it's nothing else but, it's more than 10 now, probably like 20 pages, of unadulterated Cola Life. There are about 1,000 independent articles already written about Cola Life. We featured in the research that the Harvard Business School did for Mickey Chopra, who's the head of public health at UNICEF, when he commissioned this work only a year or so ago, because they're really worried about that need for innovation in child survival. So we got our slide in that. In fact, I got about 3 slides in the slide deck that was presented to him. And the recommendation there, you can see, or you probably can't see, I'll read it to you. A third recommendation on what UNICEF could do is support innovation in this area. And we were used as an example of that. We've been in the Lancet. The Lancet produced a booklet the other day called Innovating for Every Woman, Every Child. Every Woman, Every Child is an initiative that Johnson & Johnson supports at the strategic level. So we're in that. We had our page in that. But it's not just the stuffy academic media. We also made it into Hello magazine the other day. And we were also in the Observer magazine. Now this, on the one hand, you think, oh God, this is a bit, high profile for something that hasn't even started yet. But we're very relaxed about this. This gives us a level of responsibility that you cannot equal. We have a duty to all of these people and the thousands of supporters who've got us into this position to try our very best to make this work. So there's a level of responsibility on our shoulders that we welcome. And certain aspects of what we're trying to do may not work, and we're going to be completely open about that. But we're hoping we will have some successes. And again, we're going to be completely open about those. And we're hoping the rollout strategy is not that the Cola Life holds on to all of this stuff, but we get the results out as quickly as we can. We continue with this open innovation approach so that others pick up the learning and apply it to their own circumstances. Some numbers to do with the trial. Well, we spent 2.5 years thinking about it and developing the idea. We then spent 8 months co-designing the trial here in Zambia. We're going to run the trial in 2 districts and have 1 control district. We're going to target, depending on the demographics and so on, between 15 and 20 communities in each district. We're targeting 15,000 mothers and caregivers in each district. We're going to distribute 40,000 of these pods. And those are just some estimated costs. The costs are looking very encouraging, actually. We're on the verge of almost not needing to inject any subsidy. We've got to verify how much women are prepared to pay, but if it's similar to other countries, we could almost do it at no subsidy, and still there'd be margins to be made along the line. The funding status. Well, first of all, to say that the Johnson & Johnson Corporate Citizenship Trust, following our involvement in the Innovation Bootcamp, were the first to come up with funding. And what was very refreshing about that is they came up with the funding when no other funder had said yes. And that has provided us with such leverage. And that has brought in the other funding. SAB Miller, who are partners in the project, are contributing at no cost. We've got a vehicle donation from Honda, and then DFID Zambia a month or so ago came up with the last bit of funding, as you can see there. Then on top of that, COMESA, which is the common market for Southern and Eastern Africa, have got this project called, or this program which covers Southern and Eastern Africa, called Trademark Southern Africa, which is about supply chains and so on and so forth. And they've given us some extra money because they want us to look, follow up interest that's being shown in other countries in the region. When Jane and I's involvement tails off after we've got the trial running, we're going to spend time following up leads in other countries that have shown an interest in the whole Colo Life idea. Timeline very briefly, it's a 20-month program, the trial, starting hopefully in January. Those are our target dates, so we should be finished by August 2013, fingers crossed. There's probably going to be some slippage, we understand, from talking to people here. In the middle, there is the trial, a steady-state 12-month trial. We start it off with a setup period of 6 months where we're developing the packaging and manufacturing the packaging, doing that focus group work in communities that I mentioned, doing a trial run of the distribution system before we actually start the trial. And then we'll have a couple of months at the end where we wind up, make sure any succession planning is in place and so on and so forth. The problem with this project is there's a heck of a lot to do right at the beginning, and lots of people depending on one another. Once the trial gets going, it's much more easy to manage. The wrong way around, really, but we're going to have a go anyway. So during this 12-month period, we're doing social marketing, distributing these ADKs, these anti-diarrhea kits, distributing the vouchers as well, collecting data. And the key output of this is learning, remember? And then at that point as well, we'll be doing the regional development work that I mentioned. And we'll get midpoint reports coming out here. There are reports all the way along here, but everyone produces a report halfway through the trial period. This is our results framework.
Sorry, Simon, may I ask you, or do you want me to wait till the end?
It's only about 5 minutes to go, or less than that, probably. Probably best to save them to the end. This is our logical framework, if you like, our results framework. We are seeking to produce two outputs from the work that we do. We want to see if profit-driven supply chains can improve the availability of these kits in remote rural communities in two districts. And we want to also increase the awareness of these kits amongst mothers. We plan that this would lead to better access to these kits for mothers and caregivers. And the impact we're looking for is that mothers in these underserved areas increase the use of ORS and zinc in the home treatment of diarrhea. A couple of key words in there. Access. By access, we mean ADK, one of those kits, in the hand of an aware mother. So actually in the hand of a mother or caregiver who knows what to do with it. And availability is though these same packs on the shelf in stock in rural retailers. We're also going to observe use in terms of we're not going to observe use. We are going to ask questions about use on a regular basis during the trial. Did women use ORS? Where did they get it from? And so on. And the project itself will measure its success based on achieving that purpose and those outputs. Partners, just very quickly, Ministry of Health are going to oversee the whole thing, but in a steering committee capacity. They're not actually involved in the implementation. There's Coda Life, which is Jane and I. Keep a Zambia Foundation, that was Ruth Mitimingi in the earlier slide, doing the social marketing. MSL are the, we would call them a quango in the UK. They're a parastatal, but they're part of the Ministry of Health, and they do the distribution of medicines to districts already. So they'll be taking the cartons of these kits to the Coca-Cola wholesalers. SAB Miller are the bottler of Coca-Cola in Zambia, and UNICEF, who are going to be in charge of the operational research. Engage subcontractors. These are subcontractors who have helped us in developing the whole idea. Mobile Transactions Limited, who will be doing the vouchers and the voucher redemption, and PI Global, who are doing the packaging. And we'll be going out to tender for the operational research subcontractor. Funding partners, I've already mentioned these: DFID, Johnson & Johnson Corporate Citizenship Trust, TMSA, Trademark Southern Africa, SAB Miller, and Honda. Just wanted to end up with that, because basically all I've said is in there. This is available to download. It's a 6-foot by 4-foot poster. So if you've got space in your office wall or, you know, whatever, download that and stick it up and have a look at it. Okay. I'm very happy to take questions. Thank you very much.